All right, we're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline real quickly. Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com going to join us, brought to you by Bud Light, Game Day's favorite light lager, the official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins. Good morning, Mike. How are you, buddy?
Hey, doing great. How are you guys?
Mike, we're doing great. And, hey, Mike, it's growing every day, man. Players skipping bowl games, and I don't just think it's going to be first-round picks. I think down the road it's going to be guys going in the second and third round going, if I ain't playing for a national championship, I'm skipping it. I'm getting ready because I'm getting paid by the next time I play a game. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. I agree with it completely. Everybody else connected to college football makes business decisions. And then when the one group of constituents, the guys who play the game, when they make business decisions, they're vilified for it. If you make that decision, you make it. And I say that knowing full well, there's a chance that my West Virginia Mountaineers may not have Will Grier when they play Syracuse in the bowl game in Orlando. But you know what? If it was a bigger bowl game, he'd be playing. If it was a playoff game, he'd be playing. And that's all the more reason to expand the playoffs, right? The more teams in the playoffs, the more teams that will be insulated from this dynamic of guys saying, I'm not going to play. Now, the problem is, you're signing up for up to maybe four more games if they would ever go to 16.
Right.
But the more meaningful bowl games, the more players are going to choose to continue to lace them up and play, even though that risk of injury that is always there, it becomes more and more prevalent as you get closer to, and the consequences become greater as you get closer to your payday.
All right, let's go to last night real quick. Derrick Henry, pretty decent game, 99-yard touchdown run, 238 yards, four touchdowns. Not having a great season, but last night definitely helped out his stats for the year.
Yeah, I mean, he's the kid that had C-minuses on every report card every year in school and now brings home straight A's. You know, the problem, little Jimmy, when you bring home straight A's, mom and dad are going to say, why don't you do this more often?
Yep.
And the expectations are going to increase for him. And this Titans team, I can't figure them out. One week they look good. The next week they don't look good. They've now strung together a couple of wins in a five-day stretch, and they're 7-6. And who knows what they can do. They're going to need some help to get into the postseason. But, you know, this is a team where if the right group shows up at the right time, they can give whoever they would face in the postseason a hard time. We saw them up the Patriots, and I think they could play with anybody in the AFC if they have that good version of the Titans show up instead of the bad version that appears from time to time.
Mike, on the other side of that, is everybody safe in Jacksonville? Somebody asked me yesterday, are they going to fire some folks, either a coaching staff or front office? What happens in Jacksonville with whatever has happened to this team?
Well, when Doug Marone fired the offensive coordinator on a team that already was done, you know, this wasn't a, hey, this is our spark to try to make it to the playoffs. They were done. I feel like what he was trying to do was maybe take some of the heat off of himself preemptively and keep himself from potentially being fired after the season. That's showing last night on national TV. Well, do plenty to erase any good feelings that came out of the 6-0 win over the Colts on Sunday. So I think Marone needs to be concerned. I think whoever ultimately made the decision to keep Blake Bortles, and I don't know who made that final call, but when they could have signed Teddy Bridgewater, they could have pursued Case Keenum, they could have signed Kirk Cousins, they could have traded for Alex Smith or Tyrod Taylor, they could have drafted Lamar Jackson with the 29th pick in the draft. And the better he plays down the stretch, the more glaring Jacksonville's decision to pass on him. And they could have kept Bortles and drafted Lamar Jackson, just like the Ravens have Flacco and Lamar Jackson. And wouldn't it be great if the Jaguars could transition now from Bortles to Jackson? I think whoever made that, keep the devil that you know in Bortles and hope that he finds a ceiling higher than where he's been so far. Whoever made that decision, I think, is going to be making decisions for somebody else next year.
All right, speaking of Baltimore, there's a couple big games this weekend on the NFL schedule.
Including Mike's Sunday night game is.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that in a second.
By the way,
right?
That guy doing Sunday night football, whoever put that together, that guy, you can't pay that guy enough money for the games you're getting on Sunday night, Mike.
Well, and look, the NFL makes those flex decisions. I think the game was supposed to be Steelers-Raiders on Sunday night football, but the Raiders are horrible. And, you know, the NFL likes to put on a bigger platform the teams that have earned the opportunity to be there. And it's in the NFL's interest to do it. Obviously, the network enjoys it when it happens. But the NFL has learned that the huge ratings that get everyone's attention, those ratings come from putting the best games in the biggest spot. And they have that one item of flexibility on Sunday. They don't have it for Monday. They don't have it for Thursday. But they have it for Sunday. And they've used it, what, three or four times already this year.
KC Baltimore, Rams, Bears, defense against offense this weekend. It's going to be a couple of other good games this weekend, except for outside of Sunday Night Football, too. What do you think of those two?
Well, I think that the Ravens-Chiefs game can be very compelling. If the Ravens, my approach would be very simple if I'm John Harbaugh, the coach of the Ravens, and that is go out there and use the full 40 seconds off of the play clock every time. Constantly keep the Chiefs offense frustrated, keep them on the sideline. When they are on the field, they may press a little bit harder because they've been standing there twiddling their thumbs waiting for the opportunity. We saw Lamar Jackson on the first drive of his first game as a starter. The Ravens ran the ball 11 times total between Lamar Jackson and the running backs. I think they need to do that. Grind it out, slow it down, frustrate the Chiefs, and then play good defense. And that Ravens defense is solid. Are they solid enough to slow down Patrick Mahomes? We'll find out. But you can slow him down by keeping him out of the game, and I think that that should be the top objective for the Ravens.
Mike, Aaron Rodgers, is he that much of a D-back? Boy, I'll tell you what, I don't remember a star quarterback getting blasted as badly as we've seen over the last week. What's been your take on Aaron Rodgers?
Well, you know, it's funny. When the Planets started to line up against Mike McCarthy, that's when I started to notice more and more pushback against Aaron Rodgers. And there's things about Aaron Rodgers that we just don't know, and maybe – won't know. And one thing I've been fascinated by is the possibility that some of these Sunday splash reports from Jay Glazer or whoever will entail anonymous sources shedding some light on Aaron Rodgers' practice habits, work habits, how he is in the meeting room. How can you say he's not part of the problem? The Green Bay Packers have been sluggish on offense. Rodgers seems disinterested a lot of the time. You'll see him kind of slide into the zone when he needs to. But the intensity isn't there from the beginning of the game through the end of the game. And I think there are some real differences between him and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Drew Brees. And Rodgers is partially responsible for this. Just as you are a great passer because you can throw the football like threading a needle and you can pull off that Hail Mary from time to time. You know, where is that high level of ability the rest of the game? It's almost like a weird sort of a bizarro version of Tim Tebow. Because Tebow was the same way. Not that Tebow wasn't trying. But Tebow couldn't perform the first three quarters. Fourth quarter, he found his groove. And I feel like Rodgers does that far too often. Where are you quarter one, two, and three? And we saw on Sunday against the Cardinals, he couldn't will the team to victory. You know, the other argument is Demaryius Randle, the former Packers defensive back, now with the Browns, said on Thursday that the Packers traded everybody away and expected Aaron Rodgers to be magical, and he just isn't this year. I just feel like at some level, part of that blame falls to Rodgers. And it'll be interesting to see with McCarthy gone, will he be feeding that concept to people in the media, and will they start parroting it, and would the narrative get even more harsh against Rodgers?
Yeah. You think any of these college coaches end up in the NFL and keep mentioning different names, or is this going to be all NFL for NFL this year?
Lincoln Riley's name has come up several times, and Baker Mayfield talked about it this week. And, you know, I remember initially seeing the words on paper, and then in the first hour of my show, which is not simulcast, we played the sound. You could hear what he said. And then at some point on the simulcast, they actually ran the video. And Mayfield had that kind of grin on his face, like, you know, when he's talking about Lincoln Riley. Like, you know, I think that he would like to see Lincoln Riley be his head coach. And he thinks Lincoln Riley is ready to take over an NFL locker room. So Lincoln Riley is the one guy that I would be keeping an eye on. But, you know, there's different categories of coaches. We see it every year. We've got the coordinators who have risen through the ranks, who get an opportunity. We see former NFL head coaches get recycled. The one category of coach that I'm keeping an eye on is the coach who is currently a head coach of another NFL team. It's not unprecedented. John Gruden was essentially traded from the Raiders to the Bucks. The Browns tried to get Jim Harbaugh 5 years ago, and that fell apart after it did make some progress toward happening. Is there a head coach out there who is ready to leave his current team and is one of these teams that will be looking for a new coach? Is that team willing to give something up to try to get him? And that's going to be, you know, everybody's looking for the next Sean McVay. Not that anybody's going to try to get Sean McVay. That's not happening because the Rams are never going to give him up. But what if there's a coach out there and maybe it's getting close to the point where it's time to separate and maybe there's an offer to be made and maybe one of these teams, Packers, Browns, whoever else has a job open, ends up with a coach who currently is a head coach with another team. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I'm saying we have to keep an eye on that category of potential hires this year.
What about Jim Harbaugh? You brought him up. I saw reports of a guy that might want to go back to the NFL. He doesn't have to worry about Urban Meyer anymore, but what about his return to the NFL and maybe to a certain team here in South Florida?
I was told earlier this week if he ever goes back to the NFL, it would end up being the Dolphins, and I don't know that he is going to go back to the NFL. He's been linked to the Browns, the Packers. Here's the reality with Jim Harbaugh. That guy shows up and takes over, and he's not doing it out of malice. He thinks that it's in the best interest of the organization for him to come in and try to take over. He's ultra-competitive, and he wants to win at everything. He wants to win at every game, every practice, every press conference, every human interaction. He wants to walk away from it feeling like I won, and that wears on people. And, you know, if you're the GM of the Packers or the GM of the Browns, do you really want that guy to be the head coach that you're working with on a regular basis? Now, in Cleveland, the owner may decide, I don't care, I'm making the hire, I want Jim Harbaugh. But as of right now, I think that it's more likely that he stays at Michigan. But, you know, who knows? He's never stayed anywhere more than 4 years. He stayed exactly 4 years everywhere he's been as a head coach. 4 years at Oakland as an assistant, 4 years at the University of San Diego, 4 years at Stanford, 4 years at San Francisco, and now this is year four that is wrapping up at Michigan. So if he's going to leave, if it's going to follow the trend that has been set at four prior stops, then this is the year that he would move on.
Yeah, well, to something else to look for here in the near future. Reuben Foster's girlfriend came out and said, hey, guess what? He's been smacking me around, and I lied the first time around, but I'm not lying this time for him. And he's a bad guy, and it's a slap in my face that the Redskins picked him up. What's your take on everything with Reuben Foster now, the girlfriend coming out? Does it hurt the cause anymore?
Well, you know, it's one of the common dynamics when you have a domestic violence type of relationship where the victim is going to have a strong motivation to help the person that she loves. And,
right.
And that's what she did. That's why domestic violence experts aren't surprised at all by this turn of events. The problem is when you are on the record with inconsistent statements, that's not conducive to getting a conviction of someone when that very high standard of proof beyond a reasonable doubt is the measuring stick for putting someone behind bars. However, from the NFL's perspective, they're not bound by proof beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right.
The NFL uses a lower standard. And see, now that we have a motivated victim who will cooperate with the NFL, presumably, this is somebody who is seeking justice in any form she can get it, much like the victim in the Ezekiel Elliott case. Now, Alyssa Ennis meets with the NFL multiple times, potentially, on all of the incidents. And the next thing you know, Reuben Foster is suspended 6 games for the first incident, 6 games plus an enhancer because it's a repeat offense for the second incident. The NFL ultimately can do whatever it wants with Reuben Foster, but I think that's the real concern. I don't think that the authorities are going to change their position on that incident from February, but I do believe that what ultimately happens here is the NFL imposes an even stiffer punishment on Reuben Foster when it's all said and done.
All right, what do you think about Ricky Williams now starting a new football league? You excited for that?
Did you see that yesterday, Mike?
And they're soliciting owners online. If you go to the website for the Freedom Football League, they want people with money to fill out a form and, you know, volunteer to own a team.
Let's own a team, Mike, me, you, and Joe. I mean, you two will pay for it, but I'll be there.
Hey, Mike got a nice check. I put paying for most of that.
Here's the thing. I understand the motivation to add more football now that legalized gambling is going to begin to proliferate throughout the country, really everywhere except in Florida, thanks to Disney. But the reality is, if gambling is legal, you need things on which to gamble. And football season goes from September until the end of December with a handful of games in January and early February for the NFL. And after that, you've got 7 or 8 months of no football to gamble on. So the AAF, the XFL, the fan-controlled football league, which is a thing that Richard Sherman's involved in and Joe Montana's involved in, and they've been doing media tours to support that. Now you've got this Freedom Football League. Don Yee, the agent that represents Tom Brady, a couple of years ago there was talk about a league that caters to high school players who are coming into college, and instead of going to college and being exploited and not being paid, you can get paid to play in this league. So I think that there is a demand for more football. The question is, in what form will it manifest itself? And, you know, I raised the question yesterday on an afternoon podcast I do a few times a week. How will we cover it at PFT? I don't know. I think that we cover it as a curiosity, and then if people do embrace it, if people watch it, if people support it, and I'm astounded that the XFL is going to put multiple teams in NFL stadiums, because if you can't fill those stadiums, if you only, if only half full, hey, you got 40,000 people, but it looks like an embarrassment because you've got 40,000 empty seats. This is going to be a challenge to find out whether or not there is a market for it. And, you know, all of these leagues, maybe one of them succeeds, maybe all of them fails, but it's a new frontier with this many different football leagues popping up, and it seems like every news cycle we're hearing about another one.
Yep. More football. Everybody wants more football.
All right. Can't get enough.
That's the thing. Do we want more football?
I don't know. I think so. I don't know.
I'm betting against Ricky Williams not making it.
Well, I think when football season ends, I'm kind of ready to move on. Now, the thing is, the NFL is a 12-month-a-year proposition.
Yep.
It goes into different phases. It goes into the business phase, the free agency phase, the draft phase, and that's one thing the NFL should be concerned about. If these other leagues become viable and they drain attention that otherwise would go to the NFL, that's not good for the NFL, because the NFL makes a lot of money in the offseason from all the attention that people pay to free agency, the draft, and all the offseason maneuvering that really helped us become what we are.
Right.
It's not the in-season coverage, it's the off-season coverage where our traffic goes through the roof.
Yeah. Be Mike, interesting to see what happens with those leagues.
Well, it's going to be fun. It. Thanks, Mike. Always appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
See you guys.
Mike Florio,
ProFootballTalk.com. It's amazing. Brought to you by Bud Light, by the way. Game Day's favorite light lager and the official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins.